Ladies and gentlemen, this time I need you all to silence your cell phones and hold your applause till after we are finished.
And most importantly, shut your mouth. Because hold on, let me X my throat, get my Bruce Buffer and say that United by Wrestling is live, baby. I'm your host, Dustin Destruction.
Mike, with the Shipester, baby.
My co-host, the Shipester? Good one, bro.
I would say I almost said with my co-host there.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you taking your whole show now? You're the co-host and host?
I know, right? Like, I'm pulling double duty, you bitches.
Well, I feel sorry for anyone that would have to listen to that one-man show.
Ah.
So, this episode, we are going to have kind of a twist. First off, we're going to start off by talking about some wrestling news, because there's some that cannot be ignored from this week of wrestling. Indeed. One big one. Then we're going to go into our typical Raw and SmackDown recap, but this is where things are going to get a tad bit different on the show. You know, instead of being the guys complaining on Twitter, you know, not offering a solution, not that our solutions are ever going to matter, but they're rude to us, damn it. we're going to fantasy book how we're going to fantasy book the things we'd like to change from Raw and SmackDown.
Indeed.
So let's say freaking Colin Delaney came back and beat Roman Reigns or something like that. Or Colin Delaney came back and beat Brock Lesnar. We would fantasy book that into a change of direction.
You know what's funny about that, though?
What?
Out of any name you could have just drawn out of the hat, you picked Colin Delaney.
Well, that's funny because Colin Delaney is actually a beast now on the indie scene. It's kind of
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, that's the irony part of the whole thing, but...
Oh, hey. I figured it was a good jobber name back in the day.
Yeah.
He was James Ellsworth before James Ellsworth. And, well,
true.
James Ellsworth ain't even James Ellsworth because he's a nobody. But, so that's what we're going to do. It's kind of a new style we're implementing, you know, because we, you know, like to use our imaginations. It's kind of something we do off chat a lot, yeah. Off, you know, record.
Yeah.
We talk about things, you know, dream matches we like to see and stuff. So we thought it'd be fun. And you've been hearing us shove the word, if booked, right down your throat pretty much since the beginning. So now, this series is going to be called If Booked Right, turning into When Booked Right or How Booked Right.
So, if booked right.
Yeah, if booked right, then we book it right, pretty much. I'm going to shut up before I confuse anybody else. So let's talk the world of wrestling before we go into the infamous Raw and SmackDown that we all love and know every week.
Let's do it.
WWE posted a big announcement that
they were supposed
NXT,
to do on Raw, by the way.
What?
That they were supposed to do on Raw, by the way.
Yeah, but and it was leaked way before this. We just didn't know the date. That NXT is now going live. And everyone follows me on FS1, but it's going to be on the USA Network.
Yep.
I want to believe it's September
18th.
18th, which is funny because AEW is going live on Wednesday, obviously.
Yep.
October 2nd.
Yep.
So, what are your thoughts about NXT on television?
Well, I mean, I think as long the biggest thing here before, you know, we go any further is, of course, all the rumors about Vince having more of a control over NXT with it going to television, which obviously they're listening to because when you have Triple H coming out and saying, look, you know, nothing's going to change. I'm still going to be the guy, the you know, all of that of NXT. I mean, I want to believe that, but at the same time, this is also Vince we're talking about. I think if NXT move or when NXT moves to USA, and as long as Hunter still truly has control, then it's in good hands. I don't think that it's going to be, you know, I don't think it's going to fully compete with AEW because I think AEW is on a whole nother orbit right now, but it's going to be in good hands as we've seen with NXT, you know, over the past number of years now that Hunter knows what the fuck he's doing. If it moves to USA and Vince really does have more control, then it's fucked. It's completely fucked. Then all the hard work and everything that's been put into NXT is going to go straight down the toilet because, well, look at Raw and SmackDown. So as long as Hunter remains where he's at and doing the things he's doing and Vince is just the figurehead saying that he's doing all this shit, then it's okay. Then I'm all for it. But if it turns out that Vince is truly in, then, well, fuck, we're screwed. It's screwed.
So, from reports I've been seeing on Twitter a couple days, so Mauro Ranallo, there's speculation he was not going to be a commentator. He's going to be a commentator still. And apparently, from what I was reading, and from what he, I think, said, it's going to be a Full Sail still every week.
Yeah, so I read it's still gonna take place from Full Sail, which
thing I'm confused on is it gonna be pre-taped? Because I thought I saw something about that.
I hadn't heard the details on like how it's gonna. I mean, I would assume that since they're marketing it as live on USA every Wednesday night, then it's gonna be a live show.
Yeah. So my big thing of all this is, like you said, Vince. It's like, hopefully he will just be the chairman, the guy that reports to, USA after NXT taping and all that, and that's all. His hands are off of it. But unfortunately, television makes Vince a lot of money, so he might see what he thinks is fit for NXT, and that's where it gets a little bit scary.
Well, it's like, if you...
If it's Vince's idea, we can see Brock Lesnar be the NXT champion.
Yeah, and that's also been thrown in speculation. I'm not going to confirm more. That's just the in the midst of the rumor mills, things that spin. But we're when it debuts on USA Network, you will be able to watch 15, 20 minutes of the show and tell who's really in charge. Mm-hmm. If you watch, because like now you watch NXT during the week on the network, or you watch a NXT pay-per-view, takeover, whatever, from the minute the show comes on, whose product it is.
Oh, just the pay-per-view song alone.
You can tell right now from watching the opening of the shows whose product it is. Mm-hmm. And you can watch the same thing, Raw and SmackDown. You can watch, and then you know whose product that is. So The night it debuts on USA, the first couple minutes of that show are going to be pivotal, because then if the show starts out with a fucking random ass jobber match, then well, fuck, we're screwed. It's a Vince show.
Yeah. Say, because how are they going to fill 2 hours? I mean, if that's the thing I'm worried about. If Vince in charge, I'll be freaking talking segments for 20 plus minutes and jobber matches.
Now with Hunter in charge, I'm not worried about filling up a 2 hour show.
Worst case, he has some old school, NXT guys that came from there that aren't being used on mid roster and come back. Worst case,
that's not even a bad thing. Now, if you open up the show with a 30-minute talking segment followed by some big guy beats down a jobber, shit like that, then well, NXT's completely royally fucked.
Or Shane McMahon shows up on TV,
and God forbid if Shane McMahon walks his ass out in front of an NXT arena. Oh my god.
I think the thing with NXT is it's like, I feel like if it's on TV, it's going to kill kind of the charm that it has on the network.
Well, the thing about that,
NXT has that kind of high profile but like indie show feeling at the same time.
The biggest thing about NXT going to television is that pretty much basically kills off the network except for pay-per-views.
Yeah, so who's going to pay $9.99?
Yeah, so whilst you think...
Let alone Vince wanting to up it here soon.
Yeah, it's like, so whilst you think, on the grand scheme of things, that competing with AEW on Wednesday nights with NXT, because that's the best damn thing you got...
Only thing that even comes close to competing with AEW.
And because damn well, which is sad, Vince, because you would think that your own product could be able to do it, but hell no. So you think that... people are going to, you think you're saving face by putting NXT on television, but yet you're also going to be taking a massive hit because people are not going to want to continue paying $9.99 for lackluster pay-per-views. And then when you want to up the shit with your new tier system, they're going to buy the network, that's the tier or whatever, or they're going to buy the network for WrestleMania, SummerSlam, the Royal Rumble, and maybe Survivor Series, and then they'll cancel it the rest of the year. So... You're kind of cutting your nose despite your face. It's pretty much how it's looking. At least that's how I see it. Because until Vince or until somebody fixes the main product, nobody's going to want to pay for the, especially now that the best damn thing in WWE is off the WWE network.
Yeah. The thing that worries me is everyone's hyped about AEW. The numbers are going to be there. So if NXT suffers poor ratings in the first couple of weeks, when if AEW is annihilating them, that's when I feel like Vince is going to step in.
And it's like,
because he watches TV numbers. You probably don't watch how many people view NXT on the network.
And it's like, okay, so what are you going to step in with? You going to bring Braun Strowman to NXT and have him randomly take the NXT tag team titles too? Are you gonna have him beat down all, you know, are you gonna have him beat down Gargano for 20 minutes? Are you gonna do what he's like, okay, so what is your answer to helping that if in fact most likely AEW will annihilate NXT for the first couple weeks because mm-hmm. the numbers, I mean, because, you know, AEW's on another orbit.
Well, so, the hype for AEW's television right now is
absolutely. It's like, so it's kind of like a, like I said, cutting your nose to spite your face. I mean, on one hand, it could end up being good if as long as Hunter is in control. But then with Vince, his ego the size of two planet Earths put together, you know, I could see, like you said, I could see him stepping in with some stupid ass bullshit that continues to fuck it up even more.
I love NXT. I love it. I hope it succeeds. I just don't know if they're going to be able to compete with AEW.
Well, I mean, it's like,
because AEW is new, you know, it's fresh, you know, so that people are probably going to, if people probably record NXT, they're not going to get the live viewer numbers.
Yeah, and it's like,
which is going to piss Vince off.
That's the thing about the biggest part of the whole thing right now that, you know, kind of shocks me a little bit is how soon they're kind of, you know, gunning for it. When right now, you know, not saying AEW is bad, I love AEW to death, but, you know, it's the new thing. It's, you know, you've got people that you haven't seen before, you may not have seen before, or, you know, you got guys like Cody and Shawn and Chris Jericho, things like that. Whatever, you know, your reason for watching is, you know, it's like, it's going to be the new thing on the block, and it's going to stay that way for a while.
Well, so, the thing is I think NXT is hoping, because they're getting a head start.
Yeah, I mean,
that
but
they
it's
can
like,
capture those wrestling fans. Like, okay, I'm going to tune into my regular programming of NXT.
I mean,
so they're in that like that rhythm, that like scheduled programming. So when AEW launches, everyone's going to be hooked on NXT. I think that's Vince's thought process.
Well, that's okay. You know, on paper, that's a decent way. I'm not going to say great way because it's not, but a decent way to look at it. But you still got to think about the hype level for AEW television is, I mean,
especially right away if the changes are stupid, you know, people are going to be turning off NXT.
Oh, yeah,
the
it's like,
they'll be more than happy to come to AEW.
And I mean, you know, they're selling out their TV tapings in less than an hour. Yeah. And, you know, if with all these rumors of Vince being in, you know, more hands-on and all that, you know, it's not, in fact, you're more so helping them than you are trying to compete.
Say, if you flop, then they're going, okay, I'm definitely tuned to AEW on Wednesday nights.
I mean, hell, there's people that, you know, already with the rumors of Vince having more control are like, fuck it, we're just going to wait for AEW's debut. Oh,
they're scared like you and me are.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, so it's a unfortunate wait and see process, and hope to hell that it doesn't end up like it could potentially end up.
And hope it goes well, because either way, it's gonna be a great day for wrestling, great night of wrestling for anybody. Whether WWE, you know, you watch NXT or you watch AEW. I'm personally gonna watch AEW live and record NXT, which I can see a lot of other people doing.
I will as well,
because you know AEW's the new kid on the block, and they want to see, you know.
I should
if
say
they want to see if they can, you know, hold their own, because, you know, we haven't seen much, you know, script writing from Cody and them yet, so
that's
we're not
gonna
sure.
That's going to be the biggest thing for AEW on television at the beginning, is how they're going to write out a show, like a TV show, not a pay-per-view that we've seen, an actual TV broadcast.
Yeah, I think that's like, what kind of... Go ahead.
And I'll do the same thing. It's like, well, I'll record them both, but when I go back to watch them both, since they'll most likely both be on when I'm at work,
yeah.
I'm going to be watching AEW TV first.
because I think more people are intrigued. Like, how is Cody and them gonna, you know, do live? I think that right there is gonna draw more people in because everyone knows what NXT is all about already.
And it's like everybody's seen, you know, Double or Nothing. They've seen Fyter Fest. They've seen, you know, all this. They're gonna see All Out, and those are pay per views, and they've booked those amazingly. But at the same time, how are you gonna book a 2-hour actual scripted, you know, television show?
So I think that's going to draw the people in.
That's going to be the
because they want to see how AEW does with that,
right?
Because we all know how NXT is already.
Yeah.
So that's the first big, and the second big is WWE announced the return of the King of the Ring tournament. Are you excited?
As of right now, judging by the last King of the Ring tournaments, no.
So one of my picks are already gone, which I think is stupid.
Yeah, it's like, I mean,
Owens is gone.
So, I mean, now, this is going to be the first time we say it tonight, if booked right.
So, would you let me, hold on, let me read off the bracket and the winners real quick, so you have a bit. So, we have Cesaro versus Samoa Joe, Ricochet versus Drew, Cedric versus Sammy, Miz versus Corbin, Owens versus Elias, Ali versus Murphy, Gable versus Shelton, and Apollo versus Andrade. Joe beats Cesaro to move on, and Cedric beats Sammy to move on, and Andrade beat Apollo, and Elias beat Kevin Owens.
Well, there's the first bit of if booked right, right there. I would not have booked Elias to go over on Owens.
In the most stupidest way, too.
Of course.
We can get into that.
Shame,
we can get into
man.
That.
But, I mean, now, the thing about it is,
we didn't talk about the Elias Owens and the results when we get to Raw. I'm just curious in general, like,
well, I mean,
who would you book to win, I guess? Like, how
my,
would you book
pick,
it? How would,
my
you,
my pick to my booking pick to win the whole thing would be Drew McIntyre.
Which he's still left.
So that would be my pick, honestly. That would be, I would use the King of the Ring tournament, book him to win it, and use that as his launching pad for the superstar that he should be already. That he's unfortunately not.
Yeah, I don't say Drew and Kevin was my win picks, and Kevin obviously lost. If booked right, I'm going to book it right. I think he should have won since they're doing this supposed anti-40 figure, you know, and launched himself like Austin did, but no, that didn't happen. So now it's just like, who, I mean, what, are they going to have Baron Corbin win?
I mean, Baron Corbin.
Are they going to have Andrade win so he can be the king and Charlotte's the queen?
Oh, God.
I can see something cheesy like that.
Oh, God.
Which, Andrade is awesome.
I mean, I say, nothing against Andrade.
I feel like it would just be another fluff to Charlotte Flair, though, if he wins.
Well, it'd be just like another using a high-profile relationship to make a storyline out of.
Okay, so I should ask, who do you want to see to win, and how would you book them to win this tournament?
I mean, like I said, my pick, and I want to see Drew win it, and I would use that as his launching pad for going in for the rest of the year, and then, of course, into the Royal Rumble. And it's like, because I think that if you go back to the old school King of the Ring, when it used to actually mean something, mm-hmm. when it launched the likes of Stone Cold Steve Austin and things like that, when
Lesnar,
it actually, and, you know, King Booker.
Yeah, that elevated Booker's career, but that made him.
You know, and it's like when you look back to what King of the Ring used to be, it's kind of like what, you know, Money in the Bank used to be. It actually, you know, the King of the Ring used to mean something. Nowadays, like, well, who's the last winner of King of the Ring? Like Sheamus or Wade Barrett?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So it's like you should bring back what King of the Ring means and use it as a platform to launch Drew. Because I honestly think Drew should be in the main event scene already, but if you want to a pinpoint moment where you can like kind of say, all right, this is the moment. Here you go. Here's your launching pad. King of the Ring would be perfect if it actually meant something.
But the thing that isn't, you know, I missed it, but there's nothing like you get from winning either.
Oh, okay. So you're just
like, if I was booking this should get you either a great spot of our Rumble, like number 30. Or a guaranteed title shot.
See what it's like. I would. So, either,
okay, I'm the king of WWE. Then what?
I say, like, okay, you're king of the ring. Here's a cheap ass copper crown and a horribly designed cape that you can wear for a couple weeks, and then everybody's gonna forget about it.
So, like, Wade Barrett and Sheamus, like, all
and
those.
It's like, you know, I'm going to take your thought there, and it's like, okay, you win King of the Ring, so what's the next major pay-per-view? Survivor Series. Next major big card pay-per-view.
Yeah, So
I would either, you get a guaranteed title shot at Survivor Series, or, like you said, you get your choice. You get your choice of number in the Royal Rumble, and of course, most people would pick 30 at that point.
You know that no winners come from that.
Which more so, I was booking it, have Drew pick number 27 actually, because more people have actually won from that number.
28 is the highest winning spot. 27 or 28, yeah.
I think it's 27, I believe.
Yeah.
Have him pick that and have him go, you know, have him win King of the Ring. He picks his spot in the Royal Rumble, picks number 27, wins the Royal Rumble, and then uses the road to WrestleMania to continue elevation and ultimately wins.
Or likely face Braun Strowman at WrestleMania.
And then, you know, he goes on to WrestleMania and becomes champion. It's like something like that would actually make, oh, let's see where this all started. Oh, it started when he won King of the Ring.
Yeah, either Drew or freaking, if you're going to make, you know, the high-flying, you know, division look great, you know, have Ricochet win, get like a big-time title match. He's not going to win it, but at least, you know, give him a spot where it makes, you know, him look credible. Someone new like that, or Cedric.
Yeah, have Cedric win King of the Ring. And
I don't want to see Ricochet win because he's facing the winner of the guy I picked to win it, Drew. But more than likely, what we're going to get is Baron Corbin winning with a giant crown to go on his head while he's wearing his Applebee's.
Okay, so he can go around being the king of all waiters at Applebee's.
Hey, he can just add that to his little intro. That's what'll probably happen.
Okay, his intro's getting already long enough. Shit.
Hey, I wanted Cesaro to win. You know, you call him the King of the Swiss, but what have you done with that? This would cement that. The Swiss Superman, the King of the Ring, the King of Swiss, you know?
Well, and it's like, look
at what... I think he was a perfect candidate to win it, because, you know, that would give him, you know, life of fresh air, you know, a breath of fresh air,
well, kind of. And it's like, I think, you know, Cesaro is another great pick because it's like, look at, because we were there at
he's
the
gone.
Height.
He's gone.
Oh, I know. I'm saying he would have been a good pick to win it. You know, because like we were there in the height of the Cesaro movement back in the day, you know, small movement, not as big as the Yes movement, but still, you know, the Cesaro hype, we should call it.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he won the Andre the Giant Memorial, there was another great launching pad that they could have used. All right, so let's fast forward. You dropped the ball on that one. You could have, since, you know, I know he's gone, but you could have used the King of the Ring as another breath of fresh air launching pad.
That's what I was booked the way it was. See, if I was Vince McMahon, I would have had Cesaro, Drew, or Andrade win.
Yeah.
Because you also want to build up your first big Latin star. Andrade has a look. He has this might in-ring ability. He has, you know, a great mouthpiece in Zelina.
Yeah.
He just needs something, you know, to help push him over the top because you guys have absolutely done literally nothing with him. Make him look strong again. Win this tournament.
Yeah, it's...
So he may still have a chance to do that. And unfortunately, though, if he wins, I can use him doing some stupid-ass relationship thing like Seth and Becky.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. It's like, okay, on paper, Andrade is a great choice because, like you said, you know, you want a new era top Latin star. Well, you know, Andrade's got all the pieces, but unfortunately, with the mentality of the current booking in WWE, it would be, oh, he's the king and he has a queen, and
therefore completely wasting Zelina Vega in the same process.
I say more, you know, pushing her to the curb, and the king has got his queen, and basically, you know, overbooking Charlotte again. And it'd be like basically making again King of the Ring mean absolutely nothing.
Say so. If I was the booker, this is the if booked right, they would have a stipulation for the winner. That would be a championship opportunity of probably a big pay per view where they can really look strong, get a huge rub, huge win with a lot of people watching. And I would pick Drew because I think he already has main event spelled all over him. Of the people left, I would pick Drew because he has main event spell all over him. He's already been designed to be a world champion since his first run. He was the chosen one. I think he has a look and the ability now to be that. but your booking's been crap. So use this right now to make, you know, the Drew the Scottish psychopath he's supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, because you look at the guy and, you know, like you mentioned his first run. I mean, he was getting, you know, groomed for it then. But now, nowadays, I mean, if you look at, take one look at the guy and whether you know nothing, whether you know about him or not, you look at the guy and you go, damn, that looks like a world champion right there. And yeah. with his current, you know, Scottish psychopath gimmick style, I mean, it's perfect. And
he's the perfect one to win it.
And if booked right, they would make the hopefully make him win it and, you know, get something out of it.
Yeah. So hopefully that's what happens because, you know, like I said, they haven't been doing much with him. So this is the perfect tournament to, you know, push and propel him, you know, like they used to do. Brock Lesnar, you know, started getting his huge push when he won it. Austin literally became the biggest star in wrestling.
Yeah.
On his King of the Ring tournament. He was already somewhat over, but when he got up there, talked to Michael Hayes, and cut the possibly the most legendary and epic promo, that propelled it.
Yeah, that was
this tournament, if they, you know, bring it back, can propel people.
Yeah.
I think it's already going to propel them.
All, it's like, you know, the whole thing about with King of the Ring back in the day, it was like, all right, that, you know, like, for example, Austin's the perfect example. You know, he was getting over, but when he uttered that promo up there, and you know, you can pinpoint back, oh, that's the moment he became a star right there. That's it. And then
Owen was a great one. You know, several legends have won it, and then it helped with their careers.
And then
why not giving these guys a chance?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, like I said, like I did in my if booked right, you know, use this tournament, have Drew, you know, use it to elevate Drew. He enters the Royal Rumble, wins the Royal Rumble, and elevates himself to at WrestleMania becoming world champion. You can look back and go, oh, you know what? The moment he became a star was when he won King of the Ring.
So him or Andrade, I think, would benefit the most from this.
If booked right.
Yeah. All right. So, you ready to talk Monday Night Raw?
I'm so ready.
This episode was actually one that Vince McMahon had nothing to deal with. He was at an XFL meeting.
He was probably texting Dunn the damn script.
Oh, Heyman and Triple H are actually running it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Dunn was in there with him. So, that being said, I say this sure seems like, the way it starts, sure seems like Vince was running it. We start off with the big dog.
The big dog.
Dolph Ziggler. Reigns won. I mean... Are you in love with that? Like, do you like a Ziggler-Reigns combination?
Well, I mean, the only thing that gets, you know, I don't know about everybody else, but I mean, I'm kind of digging the Reigns current storyline that he's in.
Yeah.
This match, I mean, obviously, okay, you know.
No, this is just that stupid wildcard rule where we have to get Roman in.
Yeah, so, you know, nothing to the match. I really can't really say much on that. Because it's like, you know, Ziggler's honestly in that kind of like what I like, you know, what you call like a flattering stage now that his comeback is kind of like worn off now since he came back and was the jealous.
He asked to leave. He asked for release and Vince still no.
Oh, damn.
For SummerSlam. Irony is Reigns being with a spear. yeah.
Damn.
Now in Ziggler's defense, like, I don't know if they're trying, like, they let him get offense in on Reigns. You know, he hit him with a quick super kick.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, is there any way you can, like, book this to make it any compelling? Because to me, this does not a thing for me. It just sounds like a filler match to start the show.
I mean, honestly, if I was booking, I wouldn't even have booked this match if I was booking this. Because, you know, I'm in the same boat as you. This literally does nothing for me. And it doesn't do anything with what Reigns is currently involved in anyway. And is Ziggler's, like, new shtick, like, okay, I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna hit you with a couple quick super kicks and then get my ass kicked?
So he came out there saying he was gonna be the big dog now and super kick Reigns and, yeah, got his ass kicked.
I mean,
he did get some moves. He did hit the zigzag and stuff. So, like, it was actually a good... It actually was a close match. Like, surprisingly, Roman actually let him get quite a bit of offense in.
I mean, see, that, you know, okay, that's That's, you know, decent booking, I guess, you know, to let Ziggler
try to look strong,
because obviously he's going to have to try to, because obviously Goldberg, you know, beat the living shit out of him. So, Spear and jackhammered the living shit out of him. So, but honestly, if I was booking, I wouldn't have even booked it, honestly.
Yeah, so at least, you know, the only takeaway is Ziggler didn't get dominated like he has been lately. You know, he had a good match against, you know, a decent match. I wouldn't say it's, you know, it was okay with the guy, you know, the top guy.
Yeah, it's like...
So I guess in that way, that helps Ziggler maybe look like he... I don't know. I feel like Dolph's a lost cause at this point, really.
Unfortunately, I you know, is as good of a talent as he is on, you know, his in-ring ability, his selling, his mic work, you know, unfortunately as it may be, I would have to agree that he is at this point, ever since he got labeled in the main event scene as injury prone back in the day.
When he got a concussion after that, his
world title run. You know, and then he got labeled, he got that backstage label of injury prone. Honestly, I feel like that was the ending point for him. And nowadays, he's just kind of there.
So, yeah, it's because like, it's a different story than Murphy. Murphy's upcoming on the main roster. He had a great match with Roman, and it put him into stardom. Ziggler's been on the roster, so him, you know, having a good match with Roman and losing, though, does nothing for him or Roman, really.
Yeah, it's just...
Because, you know, Roman wasn't going to lose, because they have this... Besides The Fiend, Roman and Daniel and all them are the second biggest thing, you know, story going into WWE right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If I was booking, I wouldn't have even booked that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either, honestly.
All right. So, when I saw this, I'm like, what the hell? So, we have King's Court making its return. Jerry Lawler.
Good old King!
He was supposed to interview Sasha Banks. And it didn't happen because Fiend came in and attacked him.
Okay.
Now, I want to touch on that because I was worried from the reports that came out earlier in the day that Vince was thinking about toning down the Fiend.
Yeah, I read that too.
And thankfully, it did not seem like he did that.
Yet, anyway. I mean, now, I wouldn't...
I wouldn't
go off that for 1 week, especially since Vince wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, and my thing is this on the
I said,
whole.
Do you think the Fiend? I mean, I know your answer, but like, I'll let you say. Do you think the Fiend needs toned down? Like, that's the stupidest shit I've ever heard in my life.
That is honestly, that exceeds a level of stupidity that I can even comprehend. Because if you look at Monday Night Raw, or actually, well, let's just say WWE, and I don't mean NXT when I say all of WWE. Main roster WWE. Look at Raw and SmackDown. The only things that are making these shows somewhat watchable is The Fiend. Oh, especially for Raw. You know.
Well, Sasha's getting a lot of attention now, too.
And, well, that storyline's picking up, and I'm glad to see that, but... The biggest, okay, let's categorize it even more. The biggest male superstar you got going right now on Monday Night Raw
is The Fiend.
And if you are they put these, like, I don't know if you saw on WWE Shop, they put these, like, Fiend boxes
on there.
It's like they got the light side one and then they got The Fiend. And those bitches sold out in, like, less than a couple hours.
Dude, the guy's theme song is hitting the iTunes top charts and WWE never.
And it's like, and okay, so you want to tone it down because a couple kids at SummerSlam got scared? Dude!
I don't know. I think Johnny Gargano agreed. If you saw him doing the watch it look, he looked scared out of his mind.
Well, I'm just going to talk
about that. They're doing that little watch party.
Yeah, the little watch along. Yeah, watch along.
And
it's like, I'm gonna put that up to Gargano's incredible selling.
I don't know if he was scared or if he was just everyone's talking through it and Gargano's sitting there with a blank stare, like,
well, okay,
either awe or scared. And just
well,
says,
it looked like it looked like Gargano, you know, being Gargano, like, it looked like, dude, this is probably the coolest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, everyone's sitting there talking. It just shows his, you know, how much he's into wrestling. But anyway, back to this.
But
subject.
Yeah, it's like, you know, honestly, that would be just continuing to pretty much piss gasoline on an already burning fire, because if you take the one of, if not the hottest, one of, if not the hottest thing you got going right now, and you tone that shit down because of this or that, dude, no, hell no.
And little Bobby got scared.
I say little Johnny with his mom at SummerSlam got scared of the Fiend's entrance. Okay, that's what the fucking character's supposed to do.
Say, that's why I tweeted, like, what would these people be doing if Ministry of Darkness Undertaker was here during this era?
I mean,
how scared like would he have been?
I mean, for God's sakes, the man was trying to crucify a person on live television.
He cut the intestines out of Austin at some, like, Abominus or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's freaking, like, that embalming fluid or some shit.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
he was
like,
trying to do that to freaking...
And it's like, dude, I mean, that's the never-ending contradiction of things of, like, a lot of the wrestling community nowadays, where it's like, oh, we want this back, we want... And then you get a little taste of it, and you're like, nope, sorry, don't want that.
Yeah. And plus, the whole show's carried to this stupid kid. Sorry for a kid, I should say... It's catered to the kids anyway, so why can't, you know, the adults like us have some fun for once?
I'll say, it's not hard to have a diversified audience when you have things like, you know, the Roman angle or the Fiend or, you know, Demon Balor or some shit like that caters to fans like us. And then to have, you know, fucking No Way Jose and shit like that.
Bailey.
And Bailey cater to little Johnny and little Susie. Like, it's not hard, but if you take one fucking complaint that wholeheartedly, then I'm sorry, Vince, you deserve to get your ass kicked.
But putting up Booker caps, I wouldn't book that 7-8 way. I think, you know, we don't want to see the Fiend doing entrances or wrestling much. So I think him attacking King did its purpose.
Yeah, it's like, it continues. Like, that's one thing they've actually have booked right. I would have booked it the same way.
One thing to be noted is apparently the commentary was much better this week with Vic Joseph and King. You know, they actually let Renee talk, and there's a lot more chemistry, I guess, on the announce table. So I don't know.
That's good that Renee actually gets a chance to fucking talk.
Up next, we got Miz and Ricochet versus, oh my God, the never-ending tag team of Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin.
All right,
like what? Ricochet and Miz.
Okay, first off, let's book this a little bit. Okay, first off, Ricochet and Miz.
Decent match, but it's like what the.
Okay,
fuck?
First
it's
off, Ricochet and Miz. That's, I don't think you could get much more random than that.
Well,
and then
Baron. Well, I know what it is. It's one of those mixed match things. It's freaking King of the Ring opponents teaming up with each other.
Yeah, it's
isn't Ricochet versus Corbin and Drew.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you know, and I'm sorry, how many times have we seen this?
And, how many times have we seen Baron and Drew together?
And okay, that's that. See, I wouldn't, if I was gonna book King of the Ring opponents together, you know, again, all that shit, I would have picked somebody else other than Drew.
Oh, like Samoa Joe and Drew versus freaking Miz and Cedric. Or
there
something.
You go. See, like that. Now, because we've seen for the last, it feels like a goddamn eternity, but the last 4 or 5 months, Drew and Baron, various places together, and hell, they were doing all that shit. They were teaming back when the Shield was doing their final run, and yeah, it's like
when
that's,
Baron was general manager,
and that's how long they've been doing that retired shtick for.
Well, the difference is Lashley ain't with him anymore, but
and well, who knows what the fuck he's doing, but it's like. You know, this is
And the only thing I would change is, you know, I would book, you know, maybe switch it up if you want to do the whole King of the Ring heel versus face theme.
Yeah.
Switch up it, you know, Drew and Joe or Baron and Joe or something like that.
Yeah, see, that's like, I have no problem with the initial match because, you know, the concept King of the Ring faces versus King of the Ring heels.
I have no problem with it. It's just like, seriously, Corbin
yeah, it's
and
like,
Drew.
I mean, you know, it's an interesting random pairing, but I don't have a problem with that. It's on the other side when all the heels in the tournament and you pick Baron and Drew. I mean, yeah. Come on. No.
There's so much more you could do with that.
That's the only thing, honestly, like, if I was booking, the only thing I would change would be the heel side of the match.
Yeah, the pairing. It's like, good God, I'm tired of seeing it.
You hate to see it.
Oh, next you have AJ Styles versus Braun Strowman.
Oh, boy.
The U.S. titles. Not, I mean, Strowman freaking... He won by DQ.
Yeah.
which is pretty much setting up the whole burial, well, undoing, I won't say burial yet, but the whole undoing of the OC before it even gets started.
Yeah, because like this, you know, let's go ahead.
This is random, like Braun Strowman.
Well, I mean, let's go ahead and tie this in. Let's go ahead and tie this in since everybody knows what the fuck.
Oh, I want to talk more of it at the end because the end has me, well, like, it has me kind of fired up.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like fucking, what else happens on Raw that we can't tie this in?
The Raw vs. Samoa Joe.
It's like, you know, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, just wait. There is a couple things we got to talk about still.
That's like,
so let's wait to the end.
I mean, you know, honestly, I know what they're doing. I see what they're doing with Strowman. You know, they're trying to hype him up again for like the fifth time. But I'm sorry, like we've talked about off air many a times. That ship has done sailed for me.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the main event after that. We'll talk about that more in the main event.
You know, so honestly, the booking of it was awful. And
he doesn't listen to me.
I'm just going with my if booked right, you bitch.
Oh, all right.
But moving on.
Up next, we got Joe versus Cesaro. I mean, Joe won. I would have booked Cesaro to win.
Yeah, I agree.
Joe's had many main event opportunities at this point.
Yeah.
And Cesaro hasn't been anywhere near it, which he should be.
I mean, because, like, on one hand, you got, you know, like you said, Joe, you know, and it has. Joe's been, you know, in the main event, around the main event scene. And obviously, it doesn't look like he's destined to win any of them. So, you know. And the fact that he didn't need the win because, like, you know, like we just said, he's been near the main event scene, hasn't benefited anything from it. And this would have been, as you know, we've mentioned before, a perfect place for, you know, to starting build Cesaro again, which he deserves. And I agree with you. I would have booked Cesaro easily to win this.
But it didn't happen, which is a shame. I don't know why the ship sailed on Cesaro. It's actually quite pathetic, but...
Yeah.
Hey, alright. R-Truth beats Elias. Cool. this is... Alright. So, Rey Mysterio is about to retire, and Dominik stops him. What is the point of that?
Okay. Pretty much, basically... Oh, alright. I'm kind of washed up, so I think I'm going to call it quits now. No,
hey,
Dad.
Dominic, I want to wrestle next to you, Dad. Don't retire.
No, Dad. It's like
his acting job was terrible.
I'm sorry. Like Dominic's acting job most times is terrible. I'm sorry.
Dominic, Ray's not your dad. Eddie is.
Nice.
Rest in peace, Eddie.
Say we love you, Eddie. We miss you. But it's like, I'm sorry, you know, I know Dominic's training and all that, and I, the one thing they haven't taught him is acting yet.
So put him in a performance center and don't have him on TV until he's ready.
Yeah, it's like, you know, but the whole thing is, I mean, I'm sorry, you know, when, you know, at some point, someday, you're going to wrestle alongside your dad anyway, so the fact that you have to come on Raw, do a terrible job, and talk your dad out of a so-called retirement... I mean, this is one of those segments we could have easily done without.
Say, how many times we have to fake freaking Ray retirement?
And I'm sorry, you can fake, you can have all these people come on there and fake retirements all you want, but nothing will ever be as damn great as Mark Henry's fake retirement, let me tell you that.
Okay, this match and this pairing I actually really like. We had the New Day versus the Revival.
Yes.
Randy Orton and the Revival together are a big hell yeah for me.
And it's like, this is one of the very rare times, hold your breath, everybody, it's one of the rare times, that was actually booked right!
So they all have the ruthless, like, Randy and the Revival have that dirty, you know, ruthless attitude. And
the top guys, you know, the Revival want to be the top guys of the tag division, Randy's the top guy, you know, that kind of thing.
Spray's mean streak. They broke Xavier Woods' leg, kayfabe-wise, of course.
And I'm sorry, like, you know, nothing to me. One of the best things in WWE has always been vicious Randy Orton.
And he made Kofi watch.
And see, that's like, that's badass as shit. It's
he
like,
made
hey,
Kofi watched Revival break his friend's leg.
It's like, you know, we're going to watch you. We're going to make you watch as we break your best friend's leg. Like, that's badass as hell. This was perfectly booked.
So, I think they're a perfect henchman for Randy on his, you know, rise to being, you know, the heel guy again.
The vicious heel Orton.
I just hope they book the Kofi Randy feud better. You know, it's a good feud. The match is just, they better book it better than a double countout.
Yeah, that's like, you know, the feud, as we've talked about.
This feud actually has me invested. I forgot about this. I actually really enjoy this feud right now.
You know, as we've talked about many a times, the story writes itself for this, and the feud is, you know, I agree with Dustin on this, is the feud's one of the biggest things that I'm invested in the product right now. And the, you know, the Revival and Orton, it kind of reminds me like old school Legacy, but a little bit better, kind of.
Because Revival actually established tag team.
Exactly.
Ted DiBiase.
That's what I mean. They were the young guys at the time, and Randy was the veteran mentor kind of thing. But it's like Legacy 2.0, but better. And, yeah, you know, I'm really, really excited to see where it goes from here, after, especially after what they did to Xavier, like where it keeps going from here. Because
put me on record and say this: when Randy's motivated, he's one of the best.
Oh yeah, easily. When Randy Orton has something on the table for him that he can dig his teeth into, there aren't many people in the WWE better than him.
Hence why he was a top guy for John for God knows how long.
Oh yeah. And you can tell, because, like, if you look at his past, you know, of the past year or so, you know, year or two, whatever, some of the storylines that he's been in, you can tell so easily when Randy is engaged and interested in what he's doing versus when he's not.
He liked the AJ one.
Yeah.
After that, I don't really remember.
Exactly. And now he's in this feud, and he's doing the vintage Randy, to sound like Michael Cole, vintage Orton. He's doing the vintage Randy, the what, you know, made him that top guy with John. And it's like we both said, he is one of the best when he is engaged, easily.
Yeah, he actually gives a crap. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Up next, we have another terrible acting job by Natalia.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Oh,
fake God. Crying, you know. I can't believe you ruined a moment for me. I considered you one of my best friends.
Oh, God. Sounds like a terrible movie on the Hallmark Channel. But...
and then Sasha instead was to kick her ass. Heel Sasha is
the
what
best.
We needed.
I would say heel Sasha is the best Sasha.
Just to coin it off, she said, you know, you can go to hell, Maddie, and you can tell your dad hello for me.
God damn.
Yeah, I told her to say hi to Anvil.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the, I mean,
and people are like, that's too far.
Okay, then this is where we have to enlighten anybody that thinks that's too far. Do you not think Sasha asked Natalia if she could use that? Come on.
Dude, Randy Orton told Rey Mysterio straight up, a couple months after Eddie Guerrero died, and said, Eddie Guerrero is in hell.
Yeah, it's
that's fucked up, because...
Like, I mean, and it's like, come on now. The things,
a Randy Orton heel moment.
I mean, the things that people freak out about are so hilarious, because it's like, obviously, that cleared the proper channels before it was used.
Or now he would have got an absolutely kicked Sasha's
heel. I'd say she would have completely stiffed the living shit out of her.
Threw that little fake arm sling off.
And completely beat the shit out of her. But here's the thing, it's like... You know, the heel Sasha is amazing, is being booked very well right now. So we're not going to touch that.
That's why she came back.
But we need
that's Heyman and Paul. That one right there, I think, is a Heyman Paul one. Heyman Triple H.
Yeah, that's definitely.
I can't imagine Vince.
Vince would have probably go in there and told her to kiss and make up. Like, come on now. And it's like. That's I have no problem with how Sasha's being booked. Love that. But let's talk about that damn Natty acting job for a minute. Holy crap. I mean, come on, Natty. You've been around the business your entire life. You haven't picked up... I mean, and I'm not saying that crying on command is easy, because, good God, I probably couldn't do it either.
I couldn't do it either.
But you can't alter your voice a little bit to at least make it sound like you're sad. I mean, honestly, it sounded forced as shit when she was like, you know, if I was going to book this, it's like, if I was booking this part of the segment where, you know, she does all that crap, it's like, I wouldn't have even, actually, honestly, I wouldn't have even had that part in there. I would have just had Sasha, like, she did.
I would have let Sasha come in, like, attack her.
Yeah, I would have just had Sasha walk in, have Natty look at her with that, you know, like, because Natty can do that look. She can do the, like, you know, how could you betray me, hurt me kind of look. She can look like that.
I think they wanted to get Natty to bring up her dad's death so it could set up Sasha's, like, see him. You can see him in hell.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, I would have just had her come in, had Natty look at Sasha with that hurt look, and then had Sasha just beat the living shit, you know, skip the whole other crap, and just have Sasha go ahead and start beating the shit out of her. That's how I would have done it.
On next, we have Sami Zayn versus Cedric. Cedric wins.
Cedric!
Sami Zayn loses another match. Yeah. He's not won a match since he's returned.
Unfortunately.
And once again, another talent being completely wasted.
I mean, because I'm sorry, like...
And then he's most fun to the most random tag team when we get to SmackDown here in a couple minutes.
Yeah. You know, Sami's one of those guys where it's like the night he came back after WrestleMania, I mean, and he came out, he shot out like a house on fire and has been completely and utterly wasted ever since. They killed that shit dead.
He's been wasted since he got caught from NXT.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, unfortunately, they had an opportunity when he came back after WrestleMania, but it's unfortunately, he's just been kind of one of the main roster victims.
Or at least try to turn back to face. People love the guy, and at least made it work for him. He had a complete meltdown after. I mean, there's nothing really to it.
No.
I mean, I brought up bringing back the NXT members of NXT for a two-hour. I think Sami would be great because he was, like, the guy in NXT at his time, him and Neville.
Oh, yeah. Who?
Wait, and
who?
Owens took him out. Who? And then he had one of the best matches in NXT history at TakeOver Dallas. With Shinsuke.
Wait, did you say Sami and who?
Neville. Pac. The bastard.
The bastard Pac.
So, I don't know. He's a victim. I think Sami could have really got a good push outs too, but obviously they like Cedric better.
No, I mean,
I will say, at least they're pushing 205 Live pretty well in this tournament.
Yeah, they are.
Form of guy, so I'll
I agree. I'll say that part, we'll keep the booking on that one. That's good.
I don't know. I don't think it's good either way. Cedric could have used a win, but Sami really could have used a win. Kind foot. All right, up next. We had Nikki and Alexa. Skipped over that, but was that really like...
No, we'll just...
They beat Mandy and Sonya, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, the only thing to say about that is, hey, you're actually booking the tag team champions for once. Oh, wait, you could have done that for the past couple of months.
Because Alexa's in, you know, Vince's. Yep.
But that's because, you know, as much as I love Alexa, it's only because she's there.
All right, up next, OC versus Strowman and Rollins for the tag titles.
Yeah.
Strowman and Rollins won. And yep. They're the new tag team champions.
Let's fucking talk about this crock of horse shit. I mean... The fact that, you know, you pretty much, I'm not like you mentioned, like you alluded to earlier, I'm not going to use the word buried, but you have completely kind of pretty much, whatever word you want to use, kind of fucked up the OC before it even got out of the gate. Because why in the holiest of hells would you let Seth, who is the goddamn Universal Champion, why the fuck does he need the tag team title with it? And then so are you happy now? You put a title on Braun Strowman. Good lord. It only took you 6 months, but you finally did it. But...
Oh, it's his second title. Remember, he won the tag titles with Nicholas.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about
that. He won a title at the Greatest Royal Rumble when...
But okay, so it took him another.
They've done nothing with him. That ship sailed.
That ship sailed. Done nothing with the guy, and he is randomly a tag team champion with most likely the guy he's going to face at Clash of Champions.
So how many times have they done the regurgitated number one contender and champion tag out with each other just for the contender to turn on the champion, get a title match?
Yeah, so it's like, you know,
we saw John and Shawn Michaels and 800 million times in the past.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, this ship, that ship is the Strowman ship, gone, out of port. The regurgitated number one contender and champion team up, all that shit. That ship sailed about 15 years ago. So, the fact it never needed to happen, and it hopefully the only hope of this is that the OC's momentum is not completely destroyed.
Well, I mean, they had Strowman beat all three of them in one night, AJ by DQ, and those two.
All right, well, okay, so it's pretty much probably royally
the
fucked.
The only thing that hopefully, and this is the fantasy booker in me side right here, if booked right, is that maybe they don't like AJ's leadership, so they come in and recruit Finn, and their power number's there.
Yeah, that's... And I'm gonna take the if booked right on along the same line that you did. So that's the only thing, honestly, at least in my opinion, in my humbling opinion right now, is that the only thing that can save the OC after the horrible booking they endured on Raw is Finn Balor.
Say they come in, they bring Finn in to help lead.
Yeah, that's the only.
But that's gonna be a while anyway, because Finn's on vacation. So.
Well, I mean, but like the only thing is. That's the only thing I think, at least in my opinion, can save now save the OC.
So let's bring the club back the 8 millionth time and do what we did with the club the 8 million times before and have them lose nonstop.
Yep. Yeah, it's like
just a name now instead of.
And like I said, now at least in our opinions, the only thing that can save it after that after Raw is Finn Balor,
and that's going to be.
And that's going to be a minute because, well, he's tying the knots and saying I do. But
hype of Strowman, if they were going to ride with him, should have been when him and Lesnar had that one-on-one match.
Yep.
And Braun stiffed him, so Lesnar didn't want to put him over.
Yep, that was the that was
because literally all you're doing, too, it's so predictable that you want to push Braun, so now it makes sense. Okay, you put the towel on Seth because Brock's not going to put him over. So pretty much it's just spelled out Braun Strowman's going to be the new champion here in a few months. Here soon, but as soon as fucking Clash of Champions.
You keep calling it Capital. Do you want to watch Capital Punishment? Is that what you
want
to watch?
Yes, R-Truth and John Cena.
I was saying you want to go back and watch the R-Truth Cena main event?
I can care less about this pay-per-view. Even more now if some of the matches are lining up for it. You get to be there live, and that's a shame on you.
Well, the only thing, like, literally.
Let's hear your mom's money.
Well, The biggest thing about Clash of Champions that's got me intrigued, little quick note, is, like I said, Kofi and Randy and heel Sasha. That's, like, you know, that's where that goes.
Yeah. So SmackDown, unfortunately, I don't know if Vince was there for that one. I don't know what Vince does booking-wise for SmackDown. But,
back.
No, he don't have shit to do, so.
So we kick off with Randy. Kind of villainous promo, and Kofi comes out and beats up, jumps him from behind.
From behind!
And beats him with a steel chair.
Which, I like the booking there. I really do. Because that, you know, that's typically how it should be booked when Randy does what he did, you know, response kind of thing. That was fine. I like the booking there.
They're bringing out the heel, vicious side of Kofi, bringing Kofi into another level. So it brings more of
an
development into Kofi's character.
Yeah, say it
and
brings more.
Just freaking, I'm going to shake my ass and throw pancakes out as the WWE champion.
Has anybody ever actually tried to eat one of those that they throw in the crowd? I've always wondered that. But I hope not. But anyway, it's like, you know, it adds more character development. It adds more intrigue to the story and more investment into the story. So that I'll take that. That was booked right.
Yeah, well, the whole feud's been great so far. It's been definitely.
And I think, honestly.
I don't know if that's Randy's creative control on that
and
one.
And like I said, you know, I was just about to mention, I think one of the biggest things that's helping this feud along is obviously Randy is at this point has creative calls and things that he's going to, you know, help make sure that his feud is booked right. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's another key piece to this whole thing.
I think Randy, for most part, has complete creative control at this point over his character.
Yeah, because, I mean, good God, he's been with WWE for damn 15-plus years. So he's earned that, you know, creative, you know, slide thing. So
Next, we got Andrade versus Apollo Crews. Andrade wins. Thank God if they would have booked Apollo Crews. It's like, what the hell? Apollo Crews?
There's another guy that honestly should go back to NXT.
Well, I don't think he's ready in the first place to get caught up. It's like he's a damn good wrestler. He has been for a very long time all over the indie scene, but he just doesn't have the personality for the main roster.
No, he honestly, like, and I don't mean any disrespect to Apollo. In fact, I'm a big fan of the guy. Like, you know, when he was UA Nation on the indies and, you know, when he came to NXT, I was hyped. And, you know, watching the guy is hella fun to watch. But when he grabs a microphone, suddenly paint drying becomes entertaining too. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way at all. I just, you know, like, I agree with your point. He was not ready at the time. He just got called up because he got sucked into the mass after Mania call-ups.
And the bookings definitely showed that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and, you know, I'm not going to book any other way. I think, you know, Andrade winning.
Yeah, that was perfectly booked there.
You know, I think he, now that freaking Owens is gone, should be the second to win it behind Drew, so.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, we have a moment of bliss, and Andrade's woman was on it.
The queen.
The greatest of all time, the GOAT, Beatrice Stratus.
The queen of all eras, as she calls herself now.
A new upcoming star that just beat a 7-time champion SmackDown.
Yeah, let's go with that.
She challenges Bayley. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm sick of seeing this. She challenged Bayley to a match at Clash of Champions. And so we're going to get another Charlotte freaking match.
So it wouldn't put it past me that she wins it too. Honestly, this is one of those things where I wouldn't have even booked this, because if you look at, you know, whether it be the Raw roster or the SmackDown roster, the list of deserving women that would benefit more from that title opportunity than goddamn Charlotte Flair, it's quite a nice list.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm almost scared for Andrade to win, because he would be getting called the King of Charlotte for
Charlotte. I'll say, you know, you have Charlotte win against Bayley, and then Andrade wins King of the Ring. She's a champion. He's a king. Holy shit.
Charlotte Flair's king. It wouldn't even be calling him Andrade at that point. It'd just be introducing Charlotte Flair's king.
Look, it's the king and queen of WWE.
Yeah, Michael Cole. I counted that freaking, ugh.
Oh, Cole, come on. He got one of his one-liners back the other week, so he's got two. He's got his two vintage one-liners. Hell, give him another one. It's the king and queen.
Oh God!
I mean, no. Hell no. This is one of those things.
I was scared you and me were going to be right after SummerSlam. Charlotte's back in the title picture, and Ember Moon's left off the card after that flop of a match at SummerSlam.
Yep. Exactly as we unfortunately predicted. You know, it's like there's somebody on the, you know, when it comes to mind of deserving people, you know, Liv Morgan, where the fuck has she been?
Tweeting, you know, sad tweets.
Okay, so why not book her in this? You know, let her showcase some things. Let's build her up a little bit. Make her a worthy
competitor. You're not going to do it if you have the Kabuki Warriors. Have an Oscar or Kairi Sane.
I mean, hell, have Kairi Sane. She's new on the main roster and would benefit a lot from a title scene
or
run.
Asuka. Get her back.
Or Asuka, because she's been, you know, floundering around since her big run ended.
Since her loss to Charlotte Flair last year.
You could take one of Mandy or Sonya. There's another, you know, and you could just keep going on, or, you know, unfortunately, like we predicted with Ember from the match at SummerSlam, but, you know, like Mandy, Sonya, Asuka, Kairi, you know, Liv Morgan, things like that. There's a lot of other women that would benefit that I would book. Me personally, I would book Liv Morgan, and that would be my choice to book in this instead of Charlotte, but it's just we just don't need this again.
Well, on a better note, up next we have Blake Murphy versus Daniel Bryan.
which I heard was another incredible match.
Murphy's killing it.
Murphy,
Brian put him over. He beat Daniel Bryan on the main roster on SmackDown Live.
And I mean, I'm sorry, you talk about taking the fucking ball and running with it. He has a match of the year contender with Roman, and he has almost that caliber level of a match with Bryan tonight. He beats. This, I love the booking on this, because you're continuing his run from Raw, and he beats one of the top guys on SmackDown Live. Perfect. Absolutely perfect.
So I guess they use that momentum and actually help him win King of the Ring?
Honestly, like, my you know...
Because it's setting that up. It's going to be him versus Ali, but the winner's going to face Elias. I can see him or Ali probably being Elias.
Well, it's like, I think honestly, out of all the you know, like, we both, I think you picked Drew as your winner, right?
Yeah.
You know, I booked, you know, we both picked and would book it, if booked, Drew. But I think Murphy might actually be the dark horse in the whole thing.
Yeah, Murphy and Andrade, I can see both winning. But Murphy's a dark horse because he's like, he went and almost beat the top dog, Roman, and he beat Daniel Bryan clean.
From the rumor spinning mill, that just take it with a grain of salt from reading around. I didn't read it from Meltzer or any of that bullshit, so there might be a little bit of stock to it. According to rumors, our mighty leader of Vincent Kennedy McMahon actually is quite liking Murphy right now. So,
which is funny, because everyone thought, you know, when he was dating Alexa, he was going to get her to handle him. He's actually doing better off now that they broke up.
I would say he's doing better now than he was then.
This is funny as hell.
But
I'm glad he's a damn good wrestler. He can't call himself the best kept secret anymore.
Oh, no, that secret bag has done been opened. I mean,
he's a damn good wrestler. I love watching his ring work.
I mean, he's an incredible performer. His ring work, it literally captivates you when you're watching him. That's how good he is. And I mean, I hope the booking, the way that they're doing it right now, continues with him, because he could be quite big by the end of 2019 if booked right.
I'm glad to see a couple of guys from 205 Live, Cedric and, you know, Murphy, getting some chances.
Yeah,
it definitely makes 205 look more credible too.
Yeah, that's another good benefit of how the 205 guys are showing in the tournament so far.
Yeah. Up next, Revival vs. Heavy Machinery. Revival won. There's nothing. I don't have anything to say about that. I mean, I booked Revival to win, especially having them as Randy's henchmen.
I'll say it would have been completely stupid to have anybody else but the Revival win that, because you just paired him with Randy. You got to continue that momentum. So, you know, that was the perfect result there.
Up next, we have The Miz and Miz TV. Miz is awesome, back on our television screens again.
The most must see talk show. I'm sorry,
and his host. His guest, Sami Zayn.
Yeah, but the...
Once again, nothing for Sami.
The bigger twist is what happens afterwards.
Yeah, Sami's, you know, venting, you know, about his spot in WWE, and he said there's several guys that could use his guidance, and the first guy that he's going to use the guide is Shinsuke Nakamura.
Which, honestly...
You love that tandem, or...
Honestly, like... When I was reading over the SmackDown results at work, when I saw this, I actually really like this idea. And I like this idea because, let's be honest, Shinsuke is another one who has been horribly...
They have to go as an Intercontinental Champion.
I mean, it's like, you know, he's been horribly booked, and both of them have. So,
oh, yeah. It's awful.
So, and it's such a shame, because honestly, you know, they're two of the best damn wrestlers in wrestling, easily.
At least Shinsuke got a title match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
34, he faced for the WWE title. Sammy's not done a damn thing.
But what's Shinsuke done since that title match? Not a damn thing. And I like this idea of, I guess, Sami being, you know, his partner / I guess mouthpiece kind of thing. I guess.
Yeah, but it's frustrating because, well, okay, that's a great tandem, but they're using it with a racial thing again.
Yeah, yeah.
Sammy's giving guidance because Shinsuke can't talk English, so now Sammy has to do all the talking for Shinsuke.
I mean, the only thing is, if this is booked right, it could actually be something good for both of them, because it will, if it's booked right, you could get them on TV more, you know, get them more matches, get them more work. And I don't necessarily agree with the, you know, reasoning behind it that, you know, okay, Shinsuke can't speak English if Sammy's got to do it for him. I don't, you know, I'm not digging that whole racial thing behind it, but, you know, as long as it gives two guys who deserve something to do more things to do, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, and they have great chemistry, as I brought up. Their match at, you know, TakeOver Dallas at 32 was absolutely amazing.
That was so, probably one of the best matches in NXT history.
So those guys, you know, work well together, even if it's opponents.
You know, on the initial, like, introduction of it, I am interested. As of right now, I'm interested in the tandem.
Yeah, the only thing I know is it looks like Miz and Shinsuke are going to be... What, Miz, I like the guy, but once again, he's going to be in our Intercontinental title match because Shinsuke cheap shot him.
Yeah. Miz is like the goddamn king of the Intercontinental scene.
Say he's melted. Up next, we have Kevin Owens versus Elias. This match foreshadows that freaking Shane McMahon waived his $100,000 fine or whatever, as long as Kevin never touches an official again. And if he does, it'll be doubled. So Owens faces Elias and lost, because Shane revealed himself as a referee.
Yeah, the booking on this, from top to bottom,
because he was Shane distracted Owens and Elias beat him because Shane was like waving the whole referee shit. The problem is it's Shane McMahon on the television screens more. I really hope after SummerSlam ended, but unfortunately,
no. It's the booking on this from top to bottom. Shane McMahon's on our television screens more, which he never needs to be ever. Elias is revealed to have a theme song, which I didn't even know he had a theme song, because I didn't know the dude was ever in enough matches to have a theme song. And you have one of the best guys in your company lose and get knocked out of King of the Ring by Elias,
who never wins anything.
Who never wins anything. Has not even been built up to win anything, which, oh no, I'm in the same boat. I agree. It's a shame because Elias is amazing. But this is one of those things. No. You should have, like, we actually talked about this before we went on air. You know, you should have had Owens win and continue his anti-authority establishment that he has been building up.
And crown his Austin moment.
And, you know, keep going, you know, and crown his Austin-esque moment. I mean, it wouldn't be as good, no, obviously, but, you know, it's like the whole thing was just so horribly booked.
Then we're going to get another Shane McMahon versus Owens match instead.
Oh, what is it going to be this time if Owens fucking...
Hell in the cell, and Shane's going to jump off the cell.
Oh, hell, what is it going to be? Fucking Owens has to sign over birthrights to one of his goddamn kids or some shit? Like, what the fuck? I mean, how many more things can these two do? Like, nope, Shane... Nope, Owens, you know what? If you win or lose, I'm the father of one of your kids, damn it. Like... I mean, are they going to do some stupid-ass storyline like that?
Probably.
I mean, it's like the whole thing. Shane McMahon needs to take his billion-dollar ass off of our television screens, but put the suit back on, and go get Daddy's coffee for him. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, Owens could have been huge after this, but no, we're set. Shane versus Owens, too.
Oh, yay, we get to see Shane jump off the cell again, which onto a table that Owens will probably move off of, just so Shane...
I don't
Shane
think can... this is going to be a Clash of Champions, I don't think.
No, I'm just like fantasy booking, like, watch, it'll be Hell in the Cell, and Shane will climb to the top, Owens will be on the table, Shane will jump off, and Owens will move off the table just so Shane can prove that he's fucking still able to take a 20-foot bump and not break a hip.
I guess. I don't love that at all. The only thing I do love is, yeah, Elias ain't gonna win, but if he can get some, he's another one I wish, you know, got more of a chance. I know a lot of people don't like Elias. Yeah, I love the guy.
I do too. I love
the
guy. Gold. I mean, the guy can enact a reaction wherever he goes.
Hell, our intro's based off of him.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you can't tell at United by Wrestling that we are Elias supporters, I mean, good God, listen to our freaking 2-second intro.
Well, I know we're not the only ones. We signed a 2 Rock for Me's in a row with a whole arena singing "Oh Walk of Elias" in unison. Like, people love the guy, but apparently Vince doesn't.
Surprise!
He's just randomly thrown in to be random catering and getting interrupted.
Yep, surprise, surprise! There, Vince doesn't love something.
It's bad we don't know a guy has a. It's bad we don't know that a guy has a theme song because he never wins or is used.
I mean, because like, and what I mean by that, in case anybody's wondering, is when I was sitting there at work reading the results to SmackDown, I saw, you know, I came across this result, and I saw all these people going ape shit about what the fuck did they do to Elias's theme song and all this other shit. How dare they change it? It's some generic crap now. And I'm like, the only thing I'm sitting there thinking is, wait a minute, when did he have a theme song?
So I feel stupid because I'm a big Elias. I didn't know he had a theme song because he never...
I mean, I'm sorry, the guy doesn't hardly compete in anything where a theme song is needed.
So I know he had one in NXT, but... I don't know. But on that note, I guess we'll wrap it up. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our new kind of format of, you know, talk about something and trying to rebook it. It's kind of something we want to do. You know, there wasn't as too many this episode because it looks like, you know, it was actually... Oh, fuck. Hold that. Sorry for the F-bomb, but...
Fuck.
Can't forget Roman's attacker reveal.
Oh, yes. Yes, we can't forget that. Now, okay, so you reveal the guy, and he looks like a dude that it would look what it would look like if Luke Harper and Eric Rowan had a baby. Honestly, is what this dude looked like. And I'm sorry, this was in my opinion. Opportunity to establish somebody different, somebody new. Like I mentioned to you before we went on the air, my personal pick, if I was booking this segment, my pick would have been Aleister Black for this. And I would have picked Aleister for this because, you know, he does all those segments about, you know, wanting people to, you know, knock on the door and, you know, all that crap. Well, what about if he goes and opens the door for him? You know, what if he, you know, takes that sinister side and tries to kill Roman Reigns? Okay, that would have been a great way to establish Aleister in a big time feud and give him the push that I think he is deserved of. So
it was funny. Is a lot of people actually think that guy was Luke Harper. It's like, that looks, I mean, I can, you know, the facial somewhat, but
no, it's
how
just
you think
it's
that
just,
guy sitting right there is Luke Harper. Come
it's
on.
Just the long lost love child of Harper and Rowan. That's all it is. But no,
that seems genius. I don't think they need to reveal the attacker yet.
Yeah, I mean,
I like the storyline. You know, it's, you know, interesting seeing Rowan, freaking Roman and Daniel walk in the room together. Rowan pulls up a damn chair and sits like.
Yeah, it's like
sits directly across from the thing.
I agree on that. It's like, if they were going to do the reveal tonight, that's how I would have booked it. But I agree with your point of, you know, it's actually an interesting storyline with some investment in it. So you don't need to, like, blow it yet.
See, I heard your mom mention it before you went on air. And I actually do think at the end of the day it's going to be revealed as Brian.
I agree with that 100%.
I think they're doing all those investigations and stuff to kind of. Thing, but I think we're going to see that Brian's revealed. I mean, it would be cool if it was Luke Harper.
I mean, yeah, that would be cool.
Or Aleister. I mean, that's cool, too. But
I mean, that's like...
I think Aleister's too busy setting himself up for the Fiend right now, though.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, if I was picking the, like, to establish somebody new scene on that, I would have picked Aleister for it. But
Luke Harper would technically be new. He hasn't been on TV for freaking...
Well, he's waiting out his contract, I do believe.
Yeah, so we'll see. Wants to come back or not.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think, you know, and I'm okay at the end of the day with it being ended up being Brian, because it's an interesting storyline. It gets you intrigued, and it would be a big time feud for both Roman and Daniel.
Can we just tell how damn good Daniel is, though? What he's playing, a psychopathic cult leader, the Yes Movement, or this freaking psychopath investigating heel?
That's why Daniel is easily one of the best in the business. I mean, the guy can, you know, be the loving baby face. He can be a fucking various type of different cult leader. he can be the eco-friendly cult leader. He can be the, you know, the everybody loves underdog Yes Movement baby face. Mm-hmm. And now he is trying to, I think, show like a local law enforcement agency why he would make a hell of a good detective. It's like the guy is just that damn good.
Yeah, at least you're trying to get personal out of Rowan.
I'm interested to see that because I'm convinced that the guy has none.
We've seen the guy sit up on a meet and greet literally and have his goat mask on and not say anything to anybody.
When the rest of the Wyatt family was saying things like...
Say Harper and Bray were both talking to him and he was just sitting there... But, yeah,
it's like, you know, it's interesting. Hopefully it continues to go as good as it's going right now.
All right. On that note, I guess we'll wrap up now that we got the probably biggest segment out of the way. Almost forgot it. Can't believe that.
Yep.
All right. On that note, stay gold, my friends.
Deuces.